Welcome to the Centre for Entrepreneurial Learning's Entrepreneurs and Experts podcast series. Today we're talking with Dr. Shai Veerkernam, CFEL Director, and Neil Hartman, Senior Lecturer in Managerial Communication at the MIT Sloan School of Management, about their new book, Unlocking the Enterpriser Inside, a book of why, what, and how. Shai, if I turn to you first, a timely book given the state of the world's finances today, and enterprise itself, it's a magic buzzword amongst policymakers as the solution to our economic problems. But is it a solution in itself?
Well, yes. I mean, the common currency right now is about austerity or growth. And austerity requires accountants and housekeeping, and growth requires entrepreneurs. There are many parts of the world where actually the topic is even more urgent, in the sense that if you look at the Middle East, North Africa, it looks like they have to create about 100 million jobs in the next 10 years just to stand still in economic development terms. All around the world, there is a growing youth population. And, you know, there is a social movement as well that is starting off that we talk about as entrepreneurship, where people aren't waiting for politicians and bankers, but are getting on with it, putting bread on their own table.
Well, that's it. A social movement. What do you mean by that? Does it mean that we're all going to be seen carrying ladders and paintbrushes or be in cafes with our computers and on the internet or all the time? How do you define that? It's quite difficult in Western terms, isn't it?
Yeah, there is a sense of urgency among young people now to try and make a life for themselves. I mean, we've been through maybe three or four different cycles in the 70s. You know, you had a different type of generation of young person coming through, perhaps looking for jobs. In the 80s, there were large organizations. 90s, we started to have a bit of the yuppie culture, the kind of self-centered environment, more narcissistic, I suppose, almost. And the noughties, or the 2000s now, we're seeing more and more young people saying, actually, you know, we want to make a difference and not just earn money.
So that's a generational thing, and it also comes down to organisational structure, whether you work for-profit or not-for-profit, say, right, in a community interest company.
That's right. So within the UK, that's one definition. Around the world, people are actually saying, you know what, we have to make our own lives, and also we want to make a difference.
And is that why you wrote the book with Neil? You want to make a difference. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what your main motivations for writing this book are, who you're trying to influence and engage with, teachers, students?
Yeah, this book is primarily aimed at faculty and enterprise agencies and people who want to stimulate entrepreneurship in their own environments. And the program that Neil and I constructed, what, nearly 8-9 years ago now, enables people to learn about entrepreneurship education on the fly, and also at the same time change people's lives in terms of the young people coming on the program. So we felt if we wanted to scale this, you know, we couldn't be doing this all year round and flying around the world, much though that is great fun. So we thought a book reaching out to other educators would be one possible solution.
Well, that's a nice phrase that Shai's used, Neil, if we turn to you now, on the fly. There's a lot of scepticism about whether entrepreneurs are born or made, and they're really whether you can teach entrepreneurship. Does the book answer that question? I mean, you've got to say, well, I want to be an entrepreneur, I'll just read this book. Is it likely to happen?
Yes, we think the book answers the question really well. I don't think reading the book will automatically turn one into an entrepreneur. But what the book clearly suggests is that we can teach entrepreneurial skills. And more importantly, I think we can influence people to develop that confidence to take a risk, to try something new. And that's probably the real basis behind the Enterprisers program.
So it isn't just the eureka moment, getting up in the soft startup saying, I'm going to do this, and then finding you're deep in debt 2 years later. You can just be a bit measured,
yes,
and cautionary.
Absolutely, of course. Part of it is that willingness to take a risk. And then once you're able to do that, understanding that there are certain skills and processes that become important to making that dream become a reality.
Now, you've been in Cambridge with Shai teaching a course. Tell me a little bit about your experience of enterprise elsewhere in the world, China, MIT. You've got a bit of a global CV.
Well, it's been great fun doing enterprisers and enterprisers-related work around the world. Actually, the Enterprisers program itself has been conducted in Australia, in Russia, in France, and there are possibilities of other places around the world coming up in the future. And at a place like MIT, and with the Sloan School school. We have a number of relationships with universities in China, and you can see certainly the tremendous level of entrepreneurship that's going on right now in the Boston area in the United States, and China certainly is becoming more and more entrepreneurial every year.
So that's what you call the helicopter view of contributions to entrepreneurship education to date. Shai says on the fly, but what do you think should be the guiding principles and processes influencing entrepreneurship educators now? Is there sort of one principle that would go with your helicopter view wherever you travel?
I think perhaps I might say two principles. One is how people come up with ideas and how they begin to implement those ideas. And second, a very important sort of process, I think, for entrepreneurs is recognizing the importance of putting together a really, really competent team and how you do that, how you manage that, how you motivate your team so that everybody sort of has the same vision and can really make that dream happen.
So you don't keep secrets from everybody. You come in, you have screensaver messages that come up when you switch on.
Yes, I think it's critical that the key entrepreneur be very, very open in terms of working with his or her team in order to succeed.
Shai, you say in the book that entrepreneurship education is not just a strategy made simple. What do you mean by that? Is it full of sort of motivational phrases like go for it?
Well, it's a little bit more than that. The reason for using that phrase, entrepreneurship is not a strategy made simple, is really taking a pop at my faculty colleagues in all business schools all over the world who think that entrepreneurship is a branch discipline to strategy. There is a lot of strategy making in entrepreneurship, of course, but actually educating entrepreneurs and educating educators in entrepreneurship education, there's three parts to it. First and foremost, it's actually about personal circumstance, which is the issue, and personal awareness, which is the issue of dealing with born or made type questions. So people may or may not go into entrepreneurship because of their personal circumstances, whether they have debts, family obligations, they have ideas, you know, they're motivated by certain inspired processes and so on. So what is it that's actually going to trigger us to get into an entrepreneurial career venture? The second piece is business know-how, which is the strategy bit. So if you're going into business, you do ultimately need to understand finance and marketing and sales and strategy and all that kind of stuff. And then finally, of course, social skills. As Neil was saying, one of the most important elements of entrepreneurship is about team formation. Well, to do that, you need social skills. You need to communicate. You need to understand about trust making, delivering on objectives and goals. You need to be able to keep time and manage yourself and be personally organized. So all of those social skills are not often taught in business courses. They're taught elsewhere. So it is unusual, actually, to have a course that combines raising self-awareness with understanding your social skills with acquiring some basic know-how in business.
So I presume if you were teaching a course, you might say, well, that's the introvert there, they never speak. That's the extrovert, they're always far too chatty. I'll put those together and I'll have a successful team, perhaps?
Well, that's certainly one indicator of that, yes. And there are all sorts of other things. For example, buy into the idea. So, you know, you may be extrovert or introvert, but if you simply don't believe in the project idea itself, you won't get any kind of buy-in. So you do need to understand the dynamics of that. And it's personal circumstances. You know, one person might be 25 and single. The other person may be 45 with a family. They're going to have different dynamics in moving forward.
Yeah, or the younger person may have a family and the older person may not, if you're an older entrepreneur. Right. Menu of approaches from which entrepreneurship educators choose for various programs and courses. What are the key approaches in that matter?
Well, I think timing is important in terms of the approaches. And as I said, you know, we've got the three broad areas of personal awareness, social skills, and business know-how. But within that, you then have, if you like, classroom techniques. You have methods of getting people to talk to each other, something we've borrowed from the internet called the World Creativity Cafe. Neil runs an intercultural simulation that would be very interesting as well to learn about. We then have, if you like, a cash flow forecast. We have business canvases and all sorts of tools. We use about 22, 25 different ways of unlocking the creative inside of people and giving them the self-confidence to step forward. And most of our people are, of course, graduates because it's a university-oriented program. And the most recent one was with about 82 PhD students in it from mostly physical science, biological sciences. And unlocking that potential of entrepreneurship amongst that kind of group hopefully has huge long-term impact as ideas come to market.
And I suppose if you take a scientist and tell them something else, almost like you've got a formula in your book, that they're going to follow that formula because they're scientists, whereas someone from the arts might just throw the book in the river and say, I don't want to do that today.
Well, you know, or try and stitch a lot of them together and try and float on down the river, I suppose. But no, it's not the scientist that we're aiming to unlock with the book. It's the educator. Because entrepreneurship can't just be taught from a textbook. It is a very social activity. There's a lot of hardcore, you know, face-to-face time required, trust building and so forth. And so this book is aimed at the educator, not at the scientist who's coming out of the lab.
Oh, and so formula for success, would you sort of, if you like, say to the educators, well, if you tell your students that, they're more likely to be successful?
I think if you make your students do stuff, that's even more powerful. Because we really do believe in action learning. So the telling bit is very small bits of information, but the real trick in the book is to learn how to get students animated and talking to each other.
Neil, Shai referred to personal attributes that you have and that you teach in the course. Are they as important as the business development in entrepreneurial learning? Do you think, well, I've just got to knock the rough edges off that person?
We think the personal development is clearly as important as the business development. It's critical that people have a good understanding of their own strengths and weaknesses so they can build on those strengths, they can decide what weaknesses they need to develop and where, for example, they might need to find other people on the team that can kind of compensate for perhaps some of the areas that are not as strong. Critical that people understand and recognize what their own personal values are and how that figures into their entrepreneurial ideas and pursuits. And I think equally important to have a good sense of how you function as a member of a team. People have different roles that they take on, and it's useful to know, I like to do this, I'm not so good at this. And so recognizing that those personal qualities and characteristics is essential.
What's the most difficult question you've ever been asked? It's, do people put up their hand and say, well, am I going to be successful? I paid my money for this course. Is success guaranteed?
Yes, I think that probably the most challenging question is when somebody asks you, you know, will I be successful? Will this idea work? You don't know, of course, in the beginning if something's going to work or not. You can make sort of a judgment that chances are pretty good or chances are not so good, but very, very difficult to be able to promise or guarantee that, oh yes, that's an excellent idea. Of course it's going to work. You just don't know. But people are curious, you know, will this make it? And it's a very difficult question to answer.
Okay, social capital, ecosystem. They're important terms, some might say jargon, for the entrepreneur. But does that mean I've just got to go out and be chatty to everybody and hail friend well met?
No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean it's of critical importance to really develop a very broad and solid network. People who can help you, people who you're able to help in different ways, in terms of ideas, in terms of support, in terms of resources. And it's critical to really think about how one goes about developing a very clear and, again, a broad network.
Shai, Cambridge, the enterprise hub that's known globally, is a national role model, particularly entrepreneurship is now a buzzword. How much does that matter, in your opinion, the brand of Cambridge and its networks?
I think the brand is the result of the outputs of the city, actually, in so many different ways. Of course, the university is ancient. And happily here, you've got two people from Cambridge, myself and Neil, Cambridge, Massachusetts, and of course ourselves. And it's a great collaboration for us because both Boston and Cambridge are incredible hubs of entrepreneurship. And I think the thing to remember is that this university, University of Cambridge, is about 800 years old. And as an ancient university, it has managed to keep transitioning itself so that it's up there with the young bucks like Stanford and MIT. Cambridge has open and porous boundaries between faculty and the entrepreneurial community, which has meant that many ideas have come out of here. And something like 1,500 companies around the Cambridge area, most of whom would have some claim to link back to the university. Either the knowledge, the research, or the people and the staff from there are Cambridge University related, one form or another. Boston similarly has huge connections both into MIT and Harvard and other institutions in that area. So it is very important to have good quality universities. That does help. The brand helps as a result of that. I wouldn't say the brand comes first. The brand comes second.
So it's basically the formula, the relationships that you've developed over a long period in Cambridge that are important, not just the Cambridge name, but Shai, everybody will want to know, can we use this as a role model for national success at the moment? You know, could it provide leadership to other regions in the UK and in the world?
Yeah, absolutely, because I think it's the spirit that we're promoting. So the Centre for Entrepreneurial Learning, our vision statement is to spread the spirit of enterprise. So we're not spreading the Cambridge brand as such, you know. This is not a kind of a franchise sausage or something. This is actually a spirit and openness, and it's actually surprising to people how communication is so open and porous in a university environment like this, and indeed in Boston, which enables conversations to happen, that causes creativity to flow, which then causes ideas to take root, and then you have the skill sets around you to actually leverage that.
Spirit is an important word, Neil. I saw you nodding your head.
Yes, I think we frequently talk about the spirit of enterprisers, and it's an attitude, really. And I think part of what we're really trying to do through the Enterprisers Program is promote that spirit and help to get people excited about the possibilities and the potential that they have.
Shai, the programs that you offer here at CFEL, can you tell us a little bit about them, and will we learn about them from your book, Unlocking the Enterpriser Inside?
Bonnie, yes, we have five flagship programs, now six, so which is just taking root. And we talk about these briefly in one of the chapters of the book. They include one called Enterprise Tuesday, which, as it says, you know, it's about enterprise. It's on Tuesdays. We run a series of eight lectures. And this is just really to open the minds. And it's been running about 10 years. We started with 20, 30 students. We're now up to about 300 or so per week. And basically what we try and do is provide role models for the students to listen to. And it is a course. It's not just a series of talks. We then have something called Emerging Technology Projects, which is to look at ideas coming out of the labs and do feasibility studies on them. We have yet another program called Ignite, which runs every July. And that's aimed at people said, I have an idea, what do I do next? That's a total immersion in the Cambridge ecosystem, as it's described. We have, of course, Enterprises, of which we're very proud. We've just finished the 25th version of it. And then we have a newly launched program called the Postgraduate Diploma in Entrepreneurship, which is a year-long part-time program that fits the lifestyle of entrepreneurs.
And so the Enterprisers Program, if we go back a little bit in your history, it was established by Cambridge MIT as a bold experiment, is now managed by the Centre for Entrepreneurial Learning here in Cambridge. How would you describe the Enterprisers model and journey? Has that sort of, if you like, been a spin-off?
Okay, so it's 4 days involved. The facilitators get a day of training beforehand. So for us, it's a five-day event. For the facilitators and the students, it's 4 days. And they come in, if you like, and on first day, it's all about self-awareness and reflection. You know, who am I? Is this what I want to do? Those kinds of questions. Lots of interactive conversations in small groups and large groups. And then the second day is all about ideation or creativity. So in order to get creativity, if you like, the juices flowing, you need a sense of play. So we get them to build rockets and fire them up into the sky. They often bring down the old telegraph pole. I'm kidding. But then we then move them into this thing called the World Creativity Cafe model, which is getting them to table hopping over about 2 or 3 hours. So they get to see their own ideas and contribute to other people's ideas and so forth. And by evening, they start to consolidate onto one project that they all like in their small groups. And then the third day is we start to look at how to turn those into business propositions through a little bit of business strategy and finance and topics like that. We have entrepreneur panels coming in, so they provide yet more role model examples, real practical insights and inspiration, which is a key element there, with a networking event that evening so they can test out their own ideas. For many of these students, this business networking is a very odd experience for them. So we try and take the stress out of it by having our guests, people who are friendly. So for many students, the first time they have gone to, if you like, a business networking event. So we introduce them to the principal in practice as well.
And so if you had, for instance, your suit, your tie and your briefcase, because you thought that's what a businessman and entrepreneur looked like, you would be taking it off and in your shirt sleeves within minutes.
Well, I mean, we're trying to make it informal, but we do ask them to dress formally for the evening. so that they get a sense of what it's like. And the evening is smart and not just a whole bunch of ragged jeans and T-shirts, you know. We're not in California. and that kind of networking then finally consolidates into all of them doing their so-called elevator pitch on the last day. And then we end up, of course, with some final lessons and learnings from the program.
Well, Shai, thanks for telling us that. Neil, you've been a lead facilitator on the Enterprises program for a number of years now. Describe your role. How do you raise entrepreneurial intent and self-belief?
Yeah. So on a very practical level, I think that Shai and I, as the lead facilitators, of course, need to keep the program running smoothly for the entire 4 days. But on a more fun level, actually, what we're really trying to do is sort of push the participants' boundaries and get them to start thinking differently. So, for example, Shai's mentioned a number of the programs. We try to put them into a cross-cultural simulation where they're split into two groups and both of them actually have to learn the norms and behaviors of an entirely different culture as a means of helping them to think about, you know, how do you adapt when all of a sudden you find yourself, whether it's in a new business culture, a new national culture, wherever it may be, how do you adapt? How do you begin to observe and learn these kinds of things? And so I think our real goal or purpose as the lead facilitators is to push those boundaries and to really encourage different ways of thinking.
And self-belief, that's a really important word that keeps coming through in your book, Unlocking the Enterpriser Inside, a book of why, what, and how. How do you go about sort of, if you like, instilling self-belief and what makes a good facilitator on an entrepreneurship program?
So I think that one of the ways of instilling that self-belief is really doing a number of activities where they're heavily involved and participating very, very actively to find out, in fact, that they can do something that perhaps they didn't think they could do before or might have been reluctant to do. And in terms of what makes a good facilitator, I could probably identify a whole list of characteristics, but most importantly, I think a good facilitator has to be able to listen really well. I think they have to be encouraging, and I think they have to have a sense of humor, and also have to be good team players, because the facilitators not only work with all the participants, but very, very closely with each other to make this program a success.
Shai, you mentioned play, but then comes that awful moment when, you know, you've ticked the boxes, you've watched your participants, and you sort of measure their performance. Doesn't that put people off? Doesn't that stop play and create sort of a formal rather than informal atmosphere? Measurement, how do you go about it?
Well, one of the things we are trying to do on Enterprises is to be the antidote to formal education, because a friend of mine asked me, we had a conversation about entrepreneurs born or made. And Peter Dawes, one of the entrepreneurs in the Cambridge area, you know, leapt up and said, no, entrepreneurs are not born, they're killed. And one of the things in the education system is obviously all the time to assess people and give them marks out of 10 and so on. We do not do that here. It is a very encouraging and positive atmosphere. And so when they present their plans, their ideas and so forth, we might give them hints on how to improve it, but we never use the language of negativity in the program. And that's really important because, you know, except for this 1 week, all of these people are in environments where the most frequent term they hear is no, or negative things, or being assessed, or being criticized, or having their papers rejected, and all this other stuff that goes on in academia. For this 1 week, they have the antidote of being with 80 other people who are all thinking about entrepreneurship in one form or another. It's a very positively reinforcing program. The energy levels are intensely high. And there is definitely a case for at least once in their life people actually having such a positive experience.
And has the curriculum developed over time? Is there something you're doing now that you weren't doing a few years back? Delivery, you know, has it improved? Because you've tweaked the program.
We're constantly tweaking it, actually, because for us, too, we need the innovation spark ourselves. You can hardly ask people to be innovative if we remain stagnant. I think the most recent innovation that we had was to add 2 extra hours to the program, and that simple extra shift enabling people to talk about their research, not what the research is, but what impact it might have on society. So we changed the question, too, and that they discussed in small groups, and that created an incredible new phase of energy for the program over the 4 days.
Now, Neil, a nice piece of the book and the interview too that we're now coming to is that chapter 8 is full of case studies. It actually tells you the people you've worked with and what you've achieved, and a nice thank you letters too. Could you perhaps talk about a particular case study that is one of your favorites?
Yes, absolutely. We had a student in the Enterprisers program by the name of Katie Hart, who also later on went on to become one of the facilitators of the program because she enjoyed the experience so much. But it was quite easy, perhaps the easiest chapter, in fact, of the book was asking for sort of testimonials, if you will, from some of the participants. And here's what Katie wrote for us. Enterprisers has spurred me on massively. Having been involved in so many programs, I have lost count. I am now running a social project called Curb Your Consumption, which aims to work with consumers to generate ideas about how we can reduce overconsumption patterns in United Kingdom in favor of more sustainable alternatives.
Shai, I know that you've got a favorite story from the book as Neil turns the pages of chapter 8, and I can already feel that my creativity and entrepreneurship is being unlocked.
Well, certainly, Jessamy Kelly, another entrepreneur who came on the program, she was attended a program a few years ago, and she was making glass, welding glass, actually. That was her project. And what struck me about her was that not only was she very practical in terms of glass welding, she decided to do a PhD on the topic in order to really understand the deeper techniques involved in glassmaking. Very successful young business now. And here's what she said in one of her notes to us. I was expecting perhaps some general business advice and networking. I definitely got more than I expected. The varied sessions and tasks were really a fantastic way to get an idea of what business is about and different ways that it can be approached. I have been on other business courses since, and none were as interesting or as fun as Enterprisers.
Well, thank you for reading those both. Fun is a nice word, but I'm not going to conclude now because there's another part of the book where you talk about the aha moments. So is that equivalent to a Newton's Eureka moment and the apple sort of drops from the head, that old story? But what are the key things you've learned after many experiments in developing and delivering entrepreneurial learning programs? Let's start with you, Neil.
I think the aha moments for us come in two different ways. One, as we see some of the results that happen from the activities that are a part of the program and the sort of behaviors that we observe. But the big aha moment, I think always for us, is the amazing things that happen in a very short period of 4 days. We recently just brought together 82 individuals who didn't know each other at all, and by the end of 4 days, they're hugging each other, they're clearly going to keep in touch with each other. It's just an amazing transformation over a very short period of time.
Well, let's take that word transformation, because there are other phrases you use in the book, like small is beautiful, shy is the spirit of enterprise, unlocking creativity, education for enterprise. But what makes you so sure that this book, which is practically based and oriented, why, what and how of enterprise, can impart the values you need to succeed in business? Come on, am I going to succeed if I go on these courses, Shai?
Of course, Bonnie, but the thing is, this book is not aimed at you. This book is aimed at people who will teach you and enable you to be unlocked. So it is for them. So the question really needs to be, will you be able to teach better as a result of this book? And I think the answer to that is yes. We're beginning to get some feedback from people who have actually bought the book off Amazon, as well as having had complimentary copies from us. And what they're telling us is that this really is, we can't understand the intellectual basis for it, the front end of the book. And then the middle part, is a lot of the practical stuff of the little tweaks and turns that you need to make. And then towards the tail end, we give them examples of the outputs for their students. So we've also got two institutions that have written up cases, Newcastle and Sussex, about how they use the lessons from this book, if you like, or the lessons from the program, rather, in turning their own programs into entrepreneurship. So we have influenced 80-plus universities now with this program, and now we hopefully winning more universities with this book.
But through them, individuals and businesses will be, if you like, trained in entrepreneurship. So, the book is going to travel widely to a very broad audience.
We hope that's true, and part of the goal in writing the book was to try to provide very detailed information about the different components of the program that if other places, other people wanted to replicate the program, we would welcome that with open arms. We've tried to give them basically all the information they need to make this happen.
Now, I know for both of you it was about an 18-month to two-year process in sort of unlocking the enterprise inside, putting your heads together and coming up with these books. Have you had a favourite piece of feedback? We'll ask you finally, Shai. You know, what is the most heartening thing for you that people have said about the book? You talked about Amazon, the number of universities who are now using it.
Well, one of them was an email just last week, actually, from somebody who's taken over the NSR Center for Entrepreneurial Learning at the Indian Institute of Management in Bangalore. And apparently his predecessor gave him a copy of this, and this is required reading for you if you're going to take over my job. And he sent me a very short but very powerful email that said he's gone through the whole thing and he's realized two things. One is that enterprise education actually has a lot of moving parts in it, and to do it successfully, you know, requires a lot of depth. On superficially, enterprise education looks like event management, but when you get underneath it, you understand it's got a lot more going on. So I'm kind of interpreting also some of the things that he said in his very short email and the conversations I've had with them.
Well, that's a memorable story. It's not event management. A helicopter view then, perhaps, Neil, from one of those countries that you'll fly to.
Yeah. Well, I think the feedback that I've received particularly has to do with the importance of unlocking and developing that confidence in people, that they can do it, they can take a risk. And that's been very, very encouraging.
So just self-confidence, go for it?
Yes, absolutely. Just helping people to recognize that they can do it. It's sort of like erasing that fear of failure and giving that extra boost that, okay, I'm going to try this.
Well, a social movement indeed. Shai and Neil, congratulations on your new book. Thank you for talking to us about your inspirational guide on entrepreneurship education, the Centre for Entrepreneurial Learning's Entrepreneurs and Expert series today. I've learned so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.